Well, happy Father's Day, and congratulations to the graduates. So I love that, you know, graduations, dads and grads. You know, fathers feel so fulfilled when they see their children graduating. And we see them grow from little children and infants, and then they get through different stages in their life. And ultimately, they kind of catch up to us. We remember when we were there, and we get to see them move through life. And ultimately, I think the greatest thing for our father is one day we will graduate so that we can be with our father. And that's the way I see it, and that's the way I feel fulfilled by this journey that we're on. So let us say a quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we just ask you to give us a listening for the Holy Spirit. You have given us the Holy Spirit so that it can guide us. You have sacrificed your Son so that he can be an example for us, so that he can take away our sins. And we just ask you that we honor that blessing and that gift today on this Father's Day. We thank you for all the blessings of our life, and may we appreciate and hear your message today. So I'll tell you, when I embrace the power of the Holy Spirit, it makes it so much easier to give a sermon. Because I know if the Holy Spirit is speaking through me, then you could fall asleep and you will still be impacted. So don't worry if you need to close your eyes and get directly fed by the Holy Spirit within you. Listen to that voice and I will be very, very happy. You know, I'm kind of a cerebral person. So when I approach Father's Day, you know, I was thinking, what do I say? Am I going to have an emotional message about the path of the father, role of the father? But really what happened was I listened to Bill's message about the Trinity. And really, as I was dwelling upon his message, I thought the idea of the Father, our Father, was the one that stuck in my mind. So when we seek to understand the Father, where do we turn? What do we do? So, you know, I think the first thing is we turn to the Bible. And when I was thinking about it, the Bible, they're words. Now, God inspired, but they are words. So when Bill was sharing last week that the concept of the Trinity was in the Bible, but the word Trinity was not in the Bible. So I started doing a little bit of research, and what I found is that the word Trinity wasn't used until the 13th century. So when you think about it, the English language itself didn't really start to develop until 500 AD. And then 600-700 years later, even though the Bible was there and the concept of the Trinity was there, there was no word for the Trinity in the English language for 600 years. So when you think about it, we talk about the triune nature of God. So essentially, you know, further understanding the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the word triune didn't enter the English language until 1605. So there is a little bit of a lag between the human experience and human words to express it. So in the Bible, Genesis 2:20, it says, "So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals." So this is Adam. So the animals existed, and then he named them afterwards. So when you think about it, it makes sense. Our language is a description of our experience so that we can communicate it to other people. But there's a lag. So we are, well, when Jesus came and gave the message, he was using words that came from a previous human experience. So people, that's the words that you have, and then you try to explain it as best you can using those words. So oftentimes what we do is we create a metaphor. And I think a beautiful metaphor is Father. So when we talk about God the Father, we're using a word from our language, but it's not really the same. So God and Father are not the same, but we can see connection. And it brings meaning so that we understand God the Father. But you can also understand that people may have a different experience with that word Father. So you may have had a very, very loving father who was understanding, who was there for you. Or you might have had a father, and in the early Christianity, especially with the pagans, you might have a father who was off warring half of the year. So when you think about the Vikings, on one hand, the father was a farmer, and then the other half of the year, when the weather was good, he was a raider, right? And he went over and he raided other countries and brought stuff back. So that experience of the word father, or that concept of father, is different for different people. So really what it is kind of a metaphor. And from that metaphor, that language, you have a certain understanding of what that means. You know, also in the Bible, they use Jesus used parables. So dictionary.com calls a parable a short allegorical story designed to illustrate or teach some truth, religious principle, or moral lesson. So in Matthew 13, verse 10, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" So he replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables." So that sort of explains that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you have an understanding relationship with God, you're going to hear things in a different way. So that parable is going to land you in a certain way. And if you don't have that relationship, then maybe you're taking that parable as, more literally. So I've heard like the parable of the tares, where used a certain way, or if you have, somebody might use one of the parables where the servants were given, gold, and they, one of them invested and got a lot, one, invested a little bit and got a little bit, and one, buried it in the ground and was sort of chastised for not developing that. And it's really, Jesus was telling that parable to talk about spirituality, your life with Christ. But some people, if they don't see that, might think, well, God is telling me to invest my money wisely. And it's not that that isn't the case, because the parable, the story should make sense to people on all those different levels, but if you're gifted with the Holy Spirit, you're going to hear and get a different message. So parables were an important thing. Then ultimately, Jesus was the example. So not just a parable, but an example of somebody living in God, somebody in God in them. So when we talk about the Trinity, the triune nature of God, we say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But when we think about it, Son also is a word and a metaphor. So we understand Jesus as a son, but it's not that traditional relationship that I had with my father. And then ultimately, the Holy Spirit. So, we have these different concepts, and I want to pull it back into the verse that Rhian read to us. And we'll go through and we'll see the influence of the words, of the metaphor of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Because I think all of those things are how we experience and understand God the Father. So, when it starts on verse 14, Rhian started on verse 5, so I'm going to start from the beginning because there are a few interesting things here. So Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So understand that he is talking to people who are Jewish. So they already believe in God, but Jesus has come onto the scene. He says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If they were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place where I am going." So you could see the understanding in different words. So they believe in God. Jesus is telling them that he is going to God the Father. And then he uses kind of a metaphor. He says, "My Father's house." So we may call that heaven, but my Father's house. So you could say literally that there is a house. And Jesus even says that it has many rooms. So we may or may not see that literal translation that we're going to go to heaven and there's going to be like a billion rooms in a giant, giant house. But at the time, he was using this metaphor because that was the experience or the understanding of the disciples, and he wanted to, he was telling them he was going to die, and they were going to be left alone. So he's using a reference that they would be familiar with. But you can see how the metaphor kind of breaks down when Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" So it's like somebody said, "Hey, I'll tell you what, after church, come on over to my house. You know, I prepared a feast for you. You know the way." And they say, "I don't know the way, I don't know your address." So that's sort of their feeling. So you could see when he was looking at the metaphor of the house, they're looking at a physical location. And rather than saying, "I'm going to God, you know God, you believe in God, so you know the way," they say, "No, we don't know where this house is. We don't know the direction." So Jesus answered Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." So this is the powerful thing about Jesus. So, you know, when you think about it, God is infinite, all powerful. How can we understand him being finite? Especially when we try to, when we think, we use our language. If our language is a remnant of the past without the Holy Spirit, then how can we truly understand the nature of God? But the solution is there. We don't have to understand God in his entirety. We can know God, we have seen God, if we have seen Jesus Christ. So he was talking to the disciples, right? So we might say, well, that's really good for the disciples because they actually saw Jesus, and we didn't. So this thing, so we're getting back to that literal analogy, that literal interpretation. So when Jesus says, "You know, you see me, you know me," we are thinking, oh, so we have to see him and know him, but I don't know Jesus. I wasn't there sitting with him. But that's not what he really means. So let's go on. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." So Philip was just saying, "Yeah, you know, I don't really understand all this other stuff, so just show us the Father." And you know, I can see how Jesus might be kind of getting a little, well, I don't know if he got frustrated, but I would get frustrated. It's like, "Hey, you guys aren't getting this. You know, maybe you should take notes. Maybe I should put it on my YouTube channel so you can watch it over and over again." So Jesus answered, "Don't you know, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Who can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." And you know, the evidence, you know, there Jesus is creating all these miracles. And it's kind of like, hey, you know, we're healing the sick, you know, we're the blind can see, you know, all of the works that are happening, understand that's coming from God. So it's very true, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. Then he says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Then on verse 19 says, before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So ultimately, our connection to Jesus, since we haven't seen him with our eyes physically, is really through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in us. So if you have asked Jesus into your life, you haven't physically seen him, but the Holy Spirit enters into you. So I was kind of looking at my notes before on my last sermon, and I was actually here for Pentecost. And I read this verse from Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when we look at our experience with God, when we try to understand God from, you know, the words and from studying, I mean, it's a great place to start. But the Holy Spirit within us, when we listen to that voice and understanding, will have all of this start to make sense to us. So the parables that maybe meant one thing, when we embrace the Holy Spirit and listen to that in voice, it will mean something different. And as we begin to experience Jesus in our life, our minds will be free to see the message in its totality. Now, this is the crazy thing. I'm a very analytical person. I understand things through words. I understand concepts that can be spoken and written down. Can I have the faith and the belief to open my heart to the Holy Spirit that doesn't use an antiquated language made by man, but speaks to me, to my very essence and spirit of who I am, so that I can experience both Jesus and God within me? And when I think about that, I say, you know, I don't know that I've really gotten there yet. And I think sometimes I get in my own way, because as soon as I experience something amazing, godly, miracle, I try to figure it out. You know, maybe I take some notes. I try to understand it. I try to revert, you know, where does it say that in the Bible? And it's not that it's not all interconnected. But what if you could never understand God in your mind? What if you could only experience God in spirit? And when I think about it, I think, you know, maybe that is the breakthrough that we need. You know, as people, as a church, as a faith, we need to be able to break through and trust the Holy Spirit and to do the work that Jesus did. The commandment to love others. And you know, when you're out there loving others, when you're out there giving of yourself, the generosity of Christ, the love, the Holy Spirit, and then understand the parables, the word, and study. Because you will be in a different place, experiencing it in a different way. And I think that's true, isn't it? When I feel close to God, the message hits me differently. And when I am down and skeptical and in my mind and trying to understand, then all of a sudden I don't feel the Holy Spirit translating what man has written into the message of God. So we need the Holy Spirit, because we cannot understand God on our own. And it is the gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ that we will have that understanding, that discernment, that connection when we commit our life. And then it's you, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And that's why it kind of gets easy for me. I had Bill do all the hard part. The hard part is him orchestrating the service and saying the right things to get us from point A to point B. The easy part for me is just to say, Heavenly Father, let us listen to the Holy Spirit. And if my message doesn't connect people to the Holy Spirit, have them fall asleep. and have the Holy Spirit speak to them and touch them directly. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up this day to you, Father's Day. May we fathers be better fathers. May we also be blessed by the most wonderful Father, God, that you are, that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so that we may have everlasting life. May we not only understand it, but may we live it, may we experience it, and may we pass the good news to other people. We pray all this in your name and in Jesus Christ. Amen.